trusted you with, if you'll take it as a privilege and say, wow, you trust me with this message of hope. You trust me with this message of peace. And that's what we went to Kansas to do. We want to just move into talking a little bit about Kansas. We took a team out there. It was largely my family, Jeremy Smith, who played the bass guitar today. Where's Jeremy? Is he teaching a class? Or? And Jared Dorsch, who's going to come and just share a little bit with us about how we went and ministered in his hometown. And Jared's been in our church for a few years now. Dan Ray reached out to him at work several times. Finally, he came to church here. Vaughn said, you need to go to India. One of the first Sundays he was here, he went. And I was privileged to be a part of that trip of going with him. And it was just an awesome thing to be able to be in a foreign land with someone. It's just discovering the gifts of the Holy Spirit, just getting a feel for, wow, okay, this isn't freaky and crazy, to be able to trust in a spirit that we don't see and sign my life away to a God that I can't see with my eyes and I can tell my family about, but I can't say, look, here he is. But what does God do other than make us the living example for them so that they can see the change in us and then they know that God is real, even though we can't just take a picture of him and say, here, the picture is our lives. The picture is the change in the way that we speak. It's in the change, the way that we love people that don't love us. And so when they began to see the change in Jared, there was initially some doctrinal differences and some stuff that he had to work through that he inherited in some cases from even his parents. But the fact is, when God changes your life, the question marks begin to become real small. They begin to get minimal, and the exclamation points begin to take over, and the wow, look what God did, and the enthusiasm of a changed life is the ultimate testimony of Jesus Christ. That's how the early church changed the Roman Empire in 100 years to become officially a Christian. The Christianity was the religion by 100 AD. Somewhere's in there. It was about 100 years after. Maybe it was two. Constantine was a Christian emperor in Rome. Why? Because lives were changed. The message went forth. People had confidence in that message. And that's all we went to Kansas for. We went there to be a demonstration of a changed life. His parents, his mom was a huge part of orchestrating us getting out there with the church that she works with. Why was she so confident? Because she knows the change in her son's heart. She knew the change. You didn't have to argue. We didn't have to sit down and present 4 pages of what our doctrines are before they let us minister. Why? Because it was a changed person that was the justification. There was the fruit of the Spirit's work in our hearts that came, and they could see that and they could feel it. And so they gave us, they set a lot of stuff up for us. We had to do some stuff ourselves. But by and large, God gave us a city park in the middle of the town. We set up through the day, had a whole evening of cotton candy and popcorn and hot dogs, and just drew people in and began to proclaim and set up for Jared to testify about what God's done in his heart in India through his life, his personal testimony. And in that park, people's hearts were changed. That I want to say this, a lot of us struggle because God's omniscient and omnipotent, and he can do anything he wants whenever he wants. We get all that. But God chooses to use people, and until you embrace that reality, he's choosing to use you to reach your neighbor. You can pray until the day you die for your neighbor, but until you cross the street and show kindness and share a word of faith and hope, don't assume God's going to show up as an angel at the foot of his bed and tell him about who he is. He has you. The church is called the body of Christ. And when you begin to get that revelation, you begin to see that God wants to send every single one of us to our circles, back to the people that knew us the way we were. And that's what Kansas was for us. That was something that most of, like I said, maybe we call the team up in a minute, but I just want to give you some time to just share a little bit about what the feedback has been afterwards, just some of the highlights that stick out to you about while we were there. And just take your liberty, just share a bit, and just stand up, Jared, come on up. I want you guys to know this young guy here is one of the few people I can just say, hey, and before I know it, it's done. We've got a few of those in our church. But I want you to understand something. It doesn't, one of the bridges we had to cross out there is he's the main speaker at a public stage in a city park. And he's getting the questions like, so what's your seminary? Like, what's your training? Like, so are you a pastor? People want to try to put a label on someone so that they know that they're safe. So that they can put God in that little box of, oh, we know exactly what he's going to say, so we don't have to worry about anything life transforming or radical or something that might shake us to the core of who we are. People don't want to change. And so they kept looking, and ultimately we just came down with the, he asked me, he's like, what do I say when it's getting awkward? People are wanting to know. I said, you're a minister. A minister means a servant. Minister literally means when he called us ministers of the gospel, he's calling us servants, those that take the message as a servant and we serve it to the people that he places in our path. You're all ministers. You're all carriers. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have a message. You have a testimony. Some of you specifically have a healing testimony that if you don't share it with someone else this week and look for an opportunity to pray with somebody, almost don't miss that opportunity. Make an opportunity. Don't just focus on, wow, I'm so thankful I'm healed. Now look for someone else to share that with. Look for someone else to pray with, to encourage them in their faith. Because that's what this kingdom's about. Without that, the kingdom doesn't grow. But this guy is one of those ministers who, he's a servant. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate the way that he led our team out there. He was the team leader. I was just along for the ride. That's how I introduced my part in Kansas. But our team did a great job leading worship with my wife leading it. And we just had an awesome time. We had experiences out there that we wouldn't have been able to have any other way. People were touched in the park that were not going to be touched if we didn't go there. Theologically, you might get tangled up, but I promise you, when you start to step in obedience and you begin to reach somebody, and then at the end of that, you feel the Lord recognizing in you that you're the reason that person now has hope. And there's no guarantee that some other person was going to come and do what he called you to do. It's a powerful, heavy responsibility, but I believe it's for all of us. And so take your liberty, bro. Oh, it should be on the right or left.
Check. Oh, hello. Ah, hallelujah. Can you turn the reverb off, Manny? Seems like talking back to me. Oh, praise the Lord. It's good to be back home after I actually feel like I just got back. You know, I was in India for 2 months. We're back for a week, but I'm in D.C. for a couple days. My sister had her first child July 4th. While I was in India, she did not ask for my permission to do that, but hey. So I went down to see her, and then a few days later, we had a Sunday service, and after Sunday, for those of you who are here, saw the RV out there, we left. We took off to Kansas, and that was the beginning of our journey, or really more like the end of the beginning. If you bear with me, I'll explain that. It was the end because the beginning was a vision, and the beginning is God's work in our hearts, and the beginning is really his love for each and every one of us. And so that's the full beginning, but the end was us actually getting on in a vehicle together by faith and saying, we're going to go to Kansas and do what you've called us to do. And I'm going to share some testimonies about God's goodness because it was just incredible. I was in India and I'm trying to coordinate through my mom through emails. And for those of you who haven't been to India, the power cuts out half the time. You can send an email and it can just disappear. You know, they don't get them sometimes. And so we're trying to coordinate getting everything set up. And Chris was with me in India. He can attest to the fact that I was being stretched in my faith. But I should be, because if I'm not being stretched, what am I doing really? Anyway, side note. But I was getting stretched in my faith. So I began to pray a lot while I was in India for Kansas, as well as staying focused in India. I actually, for those of you who have never been in Kansas in August, it's hot. It's like ridiculously hot. It's, you know, you walk outside and you're like, bring a towel with you because within 2 minutes you're going to be sweating, whether you're moving or standing still. So I began to pray for good weather because August in Kansas, I'm like, oh boy. I was like, I'm inviting people out on one of the hottest parts of the year. Well, it was, what, 80? If that, 75? It was just gorgeous day. There's a few clouds in the skies. It was just gorgeous day. It was a nice cool breeze until worship started, and then it died out so the sound would just carry. It was just awesome. And I began to pray, God, what's this going to be like? Right? How many of us want to see what it's going to look like before we get there? And I asked God, I was like, what's it going to look like? You know, I don't want to waste Pastor Josh's time, but you know, they're moving in faith, and I know that. So my mindset really is, what's this going to look like? Because I need you. We can't do it alone, any of it. So I begin to pray one night. It's like 2:30 in the morning. If you've never slept on, has anyone slept on a bed where the middle kind of does this? Anybody? Yeah, we've all slept on a bed where you either sag down and you're like, whoa, you know, or it's like really bowed in the middle. And I had a bed that was not bowed in the middle. There was actually a broken piece of wood that was just sticking up in the middle of the bed. Now, in America, that might not be a huge problem because our mattresses are this thick, right? In India, the mattresses are this thick. And so I couldn't sleep, so I started to pray. And I asked God, you know, just show me what you want to show me. And all I saw was me like this. Actually, I'm going to come up here because it was dark, right? And there's, if you can imagine, there's no one here. But you're in a park, so it's outside, so the scenery expands, right? And there's one person standing in the park. And I was almost frozen. I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I'll never forget this. He said, is it worth one? And I said, yes. If there's one person in that park, was it worth it? And the answer is yes. And when I felt that in my spirit, it really sunk into my heart. That was revelatory. I realized it didn't matter if there's one or if there's 5,000, which is actually probably bigger than the population of the town, now that I say that. It's true, small town, sorry, small town Kansas guy right here. Yeah, that's me. But it didn't matter. So at that point, I knew I wasn't wasting anyone's time. And so we went and, you know, we're getting there. And I'm just like, you know, I've been in India this whole time. There's a lot I don't have planned out or no answers to yet. We didn't have sound equipment. We did have a place to stay. That I knew from growing up in high school. It's a big house, so it's really awesome. I'm talking hundreds to thousands of acres of land. So it was just beautiful. And so we're on our way, and I'm looking up on my phone while Josh is driving. We split the driving, so I'm looking up on my phone for, you know, places to rent musical equipment from. Basically, we had our instruments, so if you can imagine the stage and just instruments, music stands and mic stands. No mics, no speakers, no wires, nothing. We had nothing. But I knew it had to be a part of it. My faith said, I will empty my bank account if I have to pay for the equipment to get to where we're going. And so we find some places online, and Josh is like, nope. Just a simple, no, that's too expensive. Right, that's too much. We shouldn't have to pay that much. And so that pushed my faith exactly to where it needed to be. And that was, I know God will provide. So when we got to that place, Monday evening we got in. And you want to talk about testimony, and I'm not going to go into this in too much detail. But my mom showed up, both of them, in one car. My parents are divorced. They got divorced when I was 9 years old. Both of them had been remarried for, my mom probably 19 years, my dad probably 14 years. And both my mom and my stepmom, I hate that word stepmom. I'm going to figure something else out. I call her mom number two most of the time. But both my moms showed up in the same car laughing and sharing life together to bring us food. And that's one of the testimonies I want to share with you. We were there for a week, okay? A week. We bought 2 gallons of milk. That's it. 2 gallons of milk is all we bought for food for a week. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, desserts, all taken care of. God's goodness is everywhere you go when you say yes to what he has planned for you. When he said, go to Kansas, I said, yep. But wait a minute. Nope, yep. That's my answer. So we say yes and we begin to move our feet like this, just like this. Right? Because the word of God says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. Right? But how can he order your steps if you're not moving? That's my question. So we said yes to Kansas. We're going. We have food. I'm talking food coming out of our ears. You know, like we have more food than we know what to do with. You couldn't, we can't, the RV, we had a little bit of food in there for our trip out. The RV coming back, we were trying to find places to cram food, to fit everything in on our way home. Amen? And it was good food. I like Midwest food. Maybe I'm partial, but it sticks to your bones. That's why I'm 6'4". You know, it's good food. It's meats, it's potatoes, it's chicken, it's lasagnas, it's corn, it's more desserts than I can literally name. Yeah, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. But the point was, his favor was there. So Tuesday we get there, Josh and I wanted to take him into the park to let him see, you know, where the event was. I was the only one who knew what the park looked like, and it looked different from the last time I was home. And we have this big pavilion that I praise God, because the whole front side of it actually has no fence on it. It's fenced on three sides to keep stuff in, but there's the front end has nothing on it. So it's set up literally like a stage. It was awesome. So we saw across the street from the park is First Baptist Church. So I was like, I saw some cars there, so I was like, why don't we go in and just see if maybe the pastor's there. I knew that was one of the pastors that my mom had troubles getting a hold of. And so we went in and we talked to the pastor, and he goes, is there anything you guys need? First off, let me tell you this. I learned a lot of lessons on how to do an event like this. I had no idea what I was doing, by the way. I have never done anything like this in my life, other than I've grabbed the mic here at church a couple times and just got crazy for Jesus, but that's what it's all about. And we walked across the street and we meet this guy. And he's like, wow, I didn't even realize this was what it was really about. And when he said that, it actually hit me. I didn't even share this with Josh, but when he said that, it just made me think of our lives. Do people really know what we're about? So after we shared with him, he's like, well, I'm sorry about this. I'll do my best to let people know. But is there anything we can help you with? And I said, if you know anyone about sound equipment or anything like this. Well, he goes, well, we're having a deacons meeting tonight, a board meeting, and I'll bring it up there. There's a guy, Chris Kelly. You know, he's our sound guy. Maybe he can help you out. I'll have him call you tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday, okay? The event's Saturday. Keep this in mind. So he calls me Wednesday, and he's like, yeah, I think I got some stuff. We can do it. We can make it work. And I was like, I'm thinking we can make it work means we'll have just enough, right? So he's like, but I'll call you back on Thursday to let you know. So he calls me back Thursday, and he says, yeah, we can do it, but I'm sorry, I only have 2 monitors. Okay, just so you know, this is a monitor, right? This is what we hear on stage. You guys got these big main speakers, that's the noise you hear. The monitors up there, that's so we can actually hear our own noise, so we can hear our cues and whether we're on tune, which isn't always accurate. No, I'm probably speaking for myself there. But he's like, we only have 2 monitors. And I'm thinking, did you see the pavilion? Like, if you got more than 2 monitors, you're going to kill yourself up there. Like, yeah, just staying away from the mic as best you can. And he had everything. I don't mean some things. He had everything. Monitors, mains, soundboard, cords, speakers. He had microphones. He had everything we needed. And then some. And then says, oh, by the way, pastor's cool with you using whatever you need. So if we find something we still need, just we can walk across the church and get it. I don't know how many of you understand the difference between doctrines. I hope you don't, actually. Yeah.
The crazy thing with the whole sound and everything, this guy, Chris Kelly, he used to do the sound for a traveling quartet. They're well known in that area. Out there, it's a lot of gospel stuff. So they had this really well-known quartet that he used to travel and do the sound for, and they stopped years ago. And a bunch of times, you know, his wife's like, why don't we get rid of this stuff? He's like, oh, no, I'm just saving it. He's like, we'll use it at some point. And so they just started using a small piece of it in their, they have a gymnasium there. But he had a whole bunch that they didn't even use there. He just keeps it at his house. And his wife's always trying to get rid of it. And so now he's like, this event comes up and he's got to use for it. It's been sitting there for like 2 years. And he just felt like, now someday this is going to be useful. So it's just crazy.
Yeah. I didn't even know that. There you go. Praise God. So anyway, abundance, right? He promises abundance if we live for him. So there you go. We had abundance. Abundance of food, abundance of sound stuff. We didn't have a keyboard for Elaine. So we found out there's this place called Vintage Park. It's a retirement community in town. People that need help to live. And someone had given a brand new digital piano to him, and so they had an extra one, and so Josh and I went there. Josh got a minister to a guy. If he wants, he can talk about that. But there's an extra digital piano, like, right there, you know. And so I meet with the director of the home, and she goes, yeah, she's like, feel free to use it. Just don't bring it back. We're talking a digital piano, okay? It's like it's a full piano minus, you know, all the keys and the wires and everything, right? I'm like, what? More free stuff? This is great. I'm excited. I'm just like, yeah. Turns out we ended up using the one across the street from the church. That was probably a $10,000 piano. It was super nice. And they're like, yeah, just carry it across the park. Okay. Sweet. So onto a couple things before, if you don't mind, I got a little bit I want to share. But so I had shirts made. Who knows Jenny Aswood? She's awesome, by the way. She's just phenomenal. She's a graphics designer. That's some of what she does. So I had her design some shirts while I'm in India. And this is what the shirts look like. It says created for a time. That's Jenny's. Don't let me forget to take that with me. But just so you know, we do have extra, and they're going to be on sale downstairs. They're $10 if you can just help. You know, if you believe that you are created for a time, the shirt's for you. It's actually not really synonymous with a date or Kansas other than the wheat field. But the truth is the harvest is plenty wherever you're at, and it's not in Kansas or anywhere else. Amen? So let's go out and get a harvest. Why created for a time? That's what God put in my head, so why not? We're all created for a time. You wouldn't be sitting there if you weren't created for this time right now. I don't care your age. It doesn't matter your age. Ask if you want to debate that, talk to Vaughn. I'll call him for you. But your age doesn't matter. We are created for this time right now. And the point was, we went to Kansas with a message that Jesus is alive, that he's risen, that in him is full life. And that we're created for a time such as this. Why? Because we're created to live, to be alive. God got a hold of my heart a few years ago, and he's alive. If you ain't feeling alive, talk to someone who does. Because I promise you, they have Jesus. But he created us for a time. I got a chance to speak in Kansas before I went to India, and that's where my heart broke for that place, and then God gives a vision. Because I saw people I've loved my whole life, that I've known my whole life. I preached, I'll admit, confession time, I was asked to talk about India, which I did, but I kind of preached more than I shared about India. But it's a simple word. Actually, no word's simple anymore. It's a word about faith. Just living by faith. Taking a step. Letting God direct our path. And I'm looking at people that I've known my whole life. You should be nervous to get up in front of those people. Your family, your friends. My pastor from when I was, you know, this big. That looked at me like, I'm not exactly, she said this, I'm probably paraphrasing a little bit, but this is what she said. She goes, I'm not sure I can show my face at the, I grew up Methodist, so they have like a annual meeting where all the pastors get together and they discuss stuff that, praise God, she's actually considered, I'll get into that in a minute. Anyway, she goes, I don't know how I'm going to go back and explain how you came from here and now aren't a part of us because of the life that's in you. And I said, good. Please try. But this lady, she was our main connection there. This is the church we went there through. And she is political, right? We have far right, we have far left. If the Methodist Church is a far right, she's a far left. But she's just on the fringe. She's probably like this before they say, you might want to change the name of your church. But I praise God for that. Because you could see it in her, and that's what it was worth. We saw change in people's hearts. We saw change in people's lives. Why? Because we loved them back, but they showed us love. And in them showing us love, you'll reap what you sow. Love also included. They sowed into us love. They sowed into us. The lady and the husband that let us stay in their guest house. A few days. I'm talking a few days. Two, maybe three before we arrived. Found out she had breast cancer. We probably owed her. My parents gave to help support for the house. And they'll be blessed in that, which I already saw some of. But we probably owed her $1,000. And at the end of Saturday night, I walked up to her. I was like, Becky, I need to get square with you. You know, how are we going to work this out? And she said, forget about it. She said, forget about it. Because of the love in her heart. For God's word, for Jesus. It wasn't, yeah, she loves me, she knows me, but that's Jesus' love. That's not fleshly love. Because fleshly love would put a limit on stuff. And if you just let me have some folly, I'm kind of, you want to show the picture real quick? You got that picture before I get a little crazy here? All right, I'm not falling asleep. I promise you, I'm about to erupt in joy. But I want this picture shown just for a minute. This was our team. Do you know how old most of those kids are? Those are the Ortman kids. The oldest one who's not there is 19. So there's your answer. Jeremy's 18. I'm 30. Elaine's like 12, so that works, you know. She might be making good food later. No, but seriously, those are kids. Yeah, we as adults have problems going across the street or to someone at work and saying, hey, man, I'll put myself down for you. Yeah, I'll love you. No matter if you hate me, no matter if our doctrines are different. That church or that park was filled with, I think, at least 7 different churches, if not more. And most of those were represented by their pastors. by the leaders of their church. Because one of my learning experiences, get the word out better. But it was blessed. They put down their doctrinal differences in a town that Pastor Donna had said, she goes, I've been praying for this for 9 years. But like Josh said, who put their feet to the ground and begin to move? You can pray all you want, but until we go across the street, how can God move? Daniel stepped in last minute to play electric guitar. He didn't even know what he's playing until pretty much that day. Did awesome. These kids had an awesome time. We had an awesome time. Lives were changed because of Jesus. Because of his love. You can take it off, Manny. This is where I may get a little bit crazy. Oh, yeah. Thanks. I didn't need to scream, oh, yeah. Into you know where that picture came from? Not my camera. I'll get those pictures up later. That picture was on the front page of the newspaper in the local town. It was on the front page, not the back, not the middle. That picture was on the front page of the local town. And there's a nice long write up. There's a girl. She asked questions around the area. She asked questions to me. I don't even remember the quote I was going to read. Josh said it's No Notes Sunday, so I didn't bring notes. But he didn't say it's No Holy Spirit and Word Given Sunday, so I've got some word I'm going to give to you in a minute, I promise. He didn't. I guess by the look on his face, I'm cleared to launch. But yeah. So I'll try and cram this in, because this is a word the Lord gave me while I was singing up here, actually. These kids' love, this family's love, the love we went to with Kansas is the same love that Jesus has given us. He's given us life. It's the same love we went to India with. It's the same love you should go to work with. It's the same love you should wake up with. Are you waking up with it in your heart? Or are you like, man, I got to face another day. Wow, I got to go to work. Before I left for India, I left my job, but before that, I drove. Bruce, I don't know how you've done it for so many years, but I drove to the Bronx every day. I live in Saugerties, so that's about a two-hour drive. God bless you, man. Bruce has done it for decades. No, not trying to put age on you. You're 13. She's 12. You're 13. There you go. But this is a word the Lord gave me. I just want to share it, and then I'll close out here shortly. In John 15, the word came today. It's awesome how God moves. We're of the same spirit, and if you haven't recognized that, you'll hear with the word, because the word about love, right? So in John 15, chapter 12, I'm going to actually give you a minute to go there if you have your Bible, because I hope you read along with me. I love YouVersion. Who has YouVersion on their phone or device, right? That is awesome. You can listen to, someone can read you the word, and you can read it at the same time. Yeah. So it's like a double dose, right? You get to hear it, and you get to read it, so it's like a double ingestion. I got a high metabolism, so I'm up for it. Talking about a Holy Spirit metabolism, don't laugh. But in verse 12, it says, this is my commandment. This is Jesus speaking. My Bible, it's red, so it's easy to tell. So it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And then the very next verse, you are my friends. If you do whatever I command. What did he command? That we love one another as he loved us. He said, love one another. And this is the word that hit me when I'm standing up there and I'm like, I got to talk about Kansas. Do you want, what am I saying? I'm going crazy up there. I got Jubilee in my arms and then I got Noel in my arms and I'm just praising God. I'm lost. I'm here. I'm there. Woo! Like a one-man band for a second. And it was clear. God can speak to you no matter what noise is going on in your life, people. Come on. It don't matter how many things are going on. It doesn't matter where you're at, what your circumstances are, whether you're singing, dancing, crying, shaking, laughing, running. It does not matter. God can speak to you. He wants to. No greater love has any man than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. Jesus called us his friends right after that if he says, just reciprocate what I'm doing to you. But that word love just keeps ringing in my ears, and all I heard God saying was, why do we put love in a box? We put conditions on love. Do you realize that? If you talk to someone that's a close friend of yours and you get to know them, unintentionally we put God in a box. This isn't like you are meaning to do this. I honestly don't believe that. I believe we just do it because it's safe. We just, that's our natural mind goes to that place, but we're talking spiritual things. But what I'm talking to you about is that you see love in, I see love like this, but you don't have my eyes. You have your eyes. So if to me love is shaking a brother's hand and then giving him a hug, that's love to me. But maybe to that brother, love is me buying him a meal. Maybe love is helping you mow your lawn, or maybe love is just saying hi every time I see you. Maybe love is opening a door for someone or holding an event in a park. Love looks different to each and every one of us, so we try and make it exclusive. No, this is the only way love can look, because this is the love I know, so you have to know my love, and if you don't, we can't get along. It's time that that breaks. Why? Because God loves us so much to send his son, to call us his friends if all we do is love one another. No matter what you think loves look like, I got to be willing to lay my life down for my friend. You're my friend. I need to lay my life down for you. How? By making myself available for your love. The love you know how to receive. And in doing that, your walls then are broken down to now I can show you my love. And now your world just went from this to this. Love has many forms. Read the Bible. I'm not going to do it for you. But are we loving each other the way God loves us? He gave his son. He literally bled out. No one drop left in him. Because the only way to cover all of us was to love us like that. See, we think love's conditional by putting our box around it. But love's unconditional. God's love is unconditional. Grace is unconditional. The Lord I serve, my God, my Jesus, says, I love you no matter who you are, no matter what you do, no matter what you look like, no matter how you smell, no matter how tall you are, how short you are, no matter whether you live in Kansas, in India, in America, in New York, in South America, it does not matter. I love you anyway. And all he asks in return is that we love each other that way. I went to Kansas to give my love away because I got too much. I just want to give it away. Are we living in that place of love? We got to be willing, folks. I'm talking to myself. I got to be willing to change my perspective on love. I got to be willing to accept love from somebody else because maybe their love looks a little different than mine. A lot of the people that were in the park, their love looked different than mine. We're wild and crazy because we love Jesus and we know how much he loves us and we know what he done for us. We know that in him we have eternal life. Do you get that? Eternal life. That means once we're in Christ, we have eternal life. It's not like, oh, maybe I'm going to work myself out of that one. No, we have eternal life. We have it. So what is this life? This is the created for a time life. This is a life that's nothing more than a gift to live through love, compassion, through everything the Bible says that is love and looks like love. We need to get our minds out of it and just start loving people no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, and being willing to receive that love. Those people received our love, but we received theirs. And it looked different every time. Some brought us food. Some let us use sound equipment. Some let us use a park. That city loved us whether they realized it or not by saying, have our park. Have the most open venue in our little town of one stoplight. Just saying. And it's not even a red, yellow, green. It's like a red flashing light. Like bink, bink, bink. I want my heart to look like that light, only green. Go, go, go. Or with today, love. Let's let our hearts flash like that light in my hometown. Let's let it just flash love. I don't care what it looks like. Grab someone at the end of this service. Love them. And if they're like, oh, you're kind of hugging me a little close. Bring them in closer. Get real. Invade somebody's space with the love of God and watch their life change. We invaded their space. They're just like, what the heck? You got 7 churches? What? 9 years I pray. What? Because of love, God's love. He gave it to us, and it's us to give away. If you don't know his love today, I pray, let's just bow our eyes. Bow our eyes. How do you bow your eyes? I don't even know. It's ridiculous. Bow your eyes. Just bow your head and close your eyes. Close your head and bow your eyes. I don't know. Hannah, could you come up and just... We talked about communion today in Sunday school. If you missed it, you're lost. But today I don't want you to miss the love of God. Today I don't want you to miss what God has for you. And the truth is, he's already given it to you. He just wants you to give it away. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than is in the world. Sing that song, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. His love was blood, because that's what it took for you and for me.